I'm ready to...
So you move that the report is...
Yeah, I'll move that the report of Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'll move that the receipt of public representation be concluded. Since we haven't heard from any delegations, I don't think there's anyone here to speak in opposition to it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
Carried.
I'll move that the criteria subsection 32 of the Pound Bylaw number 2443/79 are satisfied.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
That
carried.
That the application for excessive dog permit be approved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
That the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Okay. Item number 2 is a subdivision and rezoning at southwest corner of McGilvery Boulevard and Dunkley Street under file DASZ 2 of 2012. Councillor Hammett-Spick, the applicants are here.
Okay. So I have Robin Lee, Brian Gray. Did you all wish to present together or one at a time? And is it Mike? And Matthew, Marty, James Thomas. And then we have two people in support as well. So. Whenever you're ready, gentlemen, if I could ask you to keep your presentation to maybe about 10 minutes, you'll have a chance for rebuttal after we hear all of the opposition.
Yes, thank you. My name is Robin Lee from 1540 Taylor Avenue. I just thought I would comment on the administrative report, saying that we've reviewed it and don't have any comments. We are going to have Brian Gray and James Thomas speak now on the proposal.
Thanks, Robin. Madam Chairperson, Councillors Fielding, Councillors Nordman, members of the public service here tonight, neighbors and interested citizens who have come to the meeting. I'm very pleased to present details on the proposed ridge development in support of our rezoning application tonight. This is an aerial view, just to make sure everybody has a good perspective of the property in question, which you'll see within this black border right here. As members of the committee can see, we are up on the south side of McGilvery, right here. McGilvery crossing Keniston Route 90, right here. Pretty much across from us here, on the other side of McGilvery, going north, you'll see Costco, with the large retail and commercial area developed by Hopewell quite recently, which is actually still being built out now. Just across the railway tracks and power corridor from us, you'll see just the corner of the Lafarge cement property coming out here towards McGilvery. And also, obviously, on our back here to the south side, you'll see the northernmost reaches of the White Ridge community. And also here, part of the growing commercial development with Cinema City, a Petrocan, and right in here, which is right now being prepared for opening a large new drugstore. Members of the committee will have seen in our application a newly designed site plan. It includes an 84-unit, four-story residence, plus an 8-unit, two-story townhouse-style transitional residence. The site plan of our new proposal shows 92 units as a summary for the site. Along our southern boundary, where we had neighbors here from the White Ridge community on Breckenridge, we have the townhouse-style residence proposed. Additionally, is the 84-unit apartment here, multifamily dwelling. The property offers indoor heated parking. As far as some specifics, which will be of interest tonight, The townhouse portion of the property is 27.5 feet in height, measured to the center of the roof line, and 32 feet 10 inches to the peak of the roof. The 84-unit residence measures 47 feet and 11 inches high to the center of the roof line, and 53 feet 9 inches to the peak, thus requiring the RMF medium zoning that is subject of our application. The proposal that's put forward tonight, Madam Chairperson, features quite notably the townhouse-style residence, which was in fact presented to us at one of our community meetings by one of our neighbors and was offered to us in fact as a best practice, that being that it serves as what we think is quite a positive transition from the single-family homes in White Ridge across the White Ridge fence to our property. It's also notable, Madam Chairperson, that the Public Service, in their review of our application and on the public record tonight, has in fact recommended your approval of the application. I would note two things. Quoting, at a macro level scale, the proposed development is consistent with council policy in the form of the complete community strategy, which we'll talk about more in a moment. And also, Madam Chairperson, at the site level scale, the Public Service of the city found that the development is consistent with the Urban Planning Division's infill guidelines for multiple family developments. At this juncture, Madam Chairperson, I'd like to turn the podium over to Mr. James Thomas of the professional planning and architectural firm Hildeman Thomas, Frank and Cram, who will expand upon the important planning context of our proposal as it is supported by city policy and will present tonight, in fact, going back to city policy as far back as 1980, supporting us. Thanks, Jim.
Good afternoon. So begin the presentation with communication from John Winthrop from May of 2010 regarding the Our Winnipeg document that was out at that point for draft review. I think the key thing here that we're trying to highlight is that the process for consultation, as you're fully aware, was involved a significant participation from some 42,000 Winnipeggers. And I believe the city planning department was not able to find any precedents for greater public involvement. So it was a major undertaking which was broadly supported. A major concept in the, the document was adopted by council just about 9 months ago, July 2011, to guide land use decisions to respond to and benefit from growth. And one of the key statements, I believe, in our Winnipeg documents is its acknowledgement that communities are living, dynamic, and unique entities that evolve and change over time. One of the key concepts is the concept of complete communities, and of course you're aware there's a separate direction strategy document. Complete communities celebrate diversity and provide housing options that accommodate a range of incomes and household types for all stages of life. The concept of complete communities is directly applicable to every part of the city, but recognizes the unique aspects that differentiate one community from another. In the planning documents, White Ridge is classified as a recent community. And recent communities are stated as being those that can accommodate some infill development to increase housing choice, increase options for aging in place, and to maximize the use of existing infrastructure. Our site is located approximately 600 meters from Keniston and McGilvery intersection, which is a designated regional mixed-use center, one of only such centers identified in our Winnipeg. We have good access to and from McGilvery Boulevard, which you know is a major regional street. Here's the planning context, and we've highlighted in pink the area which is equivalent to that regional mixed-use center centered on Keniston and McGilvery, which includes those parcels of land and major commercial and mixed-use and higher-intensity residential development that Brian referred to earlier. The Ridge site is shown in yellow. As we indicated that you can see on this plan drawing from the map is that McGilvery is identified as a existing city street, a major city street and provincial highway. And the reason for showing this is we wanted to show some continuity and context going back, as Brian was suggesting, to 1980. So if we begin with looking at the next slide, which is talks about the Winnipeg 2020 vision, which was adopted by City Council in 2001. And in that document, it promoted vibrant communities by supporting mixed use within new and existing neighborhoods. Such uses included high-intensity residential and ancillary uses adjacent to major traffic or transit corridors, And in that plan, McGilvery Boulevard was identified as a major traffic corridor. Similarly, in Plan Winnipeg Toward 2010, it was virtually the same wording as we find in Winnipeg 2020 Vision, where the plan supported high-intensity residential development along major corridors. And again, McGilvery was identified as a major corridor. And finally, if we go all the way back to Plan Winnipeg 1980, the subject property was located within the Fort White suburban residential policy area. And while a low-intensity residential was the primary form of development in such areas, the plan also encouraged high-intensity residential development in areas abutting major arterial roadways, such as McGilvery. Next slide. And so here is a plate from the 1980 plan, which again shows as a major arterial that section of McGilvery that is adjacent to the Ridge property. So what we're trying to show and highlight, and there is more detail provided in tab 3 of the handout, which provides some excerpts and additional plates from the plan documents. But in our view, based on our research of the current and historical plan documents, that the Ridge proposal is not only consistent with and implements our Winnipeg and complete communities, it's also consistent with the last three official plans that were adopted by the City of Winnipeg. So at this point, I'm going to pass the podium back to Brian.
Madam Chairperson, committee members, with what Jim has presented regarding Plan Winnipeg, it's our respectful submission to you that we do, in fact, with this proposal, fit very well within and are indeed supported by the various policies that our city has set out in our Winnipeg. Additionally, I think it's important that when we look at the Complete Communities policy, as it recognizes in Plan Winnipeg, that there are, in fact, unique aspects to each community. And I would like to turn my attention now to the work that the developers have done, Precon and Towers, over the past several months now to ensure our understanding and to relate to our efforts to fit within this unique character of the community. Going back for public meetings starting in October 2011, the proposals that were first tabled with citizens were amended and presented again to this committee in December. The outcome of that, as you may recall, was this committee saying that, in fact, more consultation was required, that you were not prepared to let it go forward at that time. Out of respect to your committee's wishes, the developers withdrew their application voluntarily at that point and got back to work this January. Over January, February, March, and right into early April, a regular series of phone calls, emails, and meetings were held with neighbors, with citizens, as represented by the group Our White Ridge. Through our neighborhood consultation, there was a series of 9 meetings that were held January, February, March with our neighbors, with the representatives of the Our White Ridge group and interested citizens. 2 meetings were held at the White Ridge Community Center, the first one on January 26th, where we were joined by yourself, Madam Chairperson, by gentlemen from our Civic Planning Department, Mr. Pill and Mr. Wintrip. At that evening, we had 23 residents from the community who were able to join us. Our White Ridge group helped us invite people out, and we did our own door-to-door invitation as well of our immediate neighbors. Also, Madam Chairperson, on February the 28th, we got together again at the White Ridge Community Center. The first meeting, we largely listened to concerns of residents, and the second meeting at the White Ridge Community Center, we attempted to respond to residents' concerns by proposing some changes to a prospective development plan. Yes?
We've passed the 10-minute mark, but because there are 4 of you, the expectation would be that there would be 4 10-minute presentations, but we really would like to not have
we
that.
We certainly won't need 40 minutes. And thank okay. you very much, thank Madam you. Chairperson, yeah. for the extension. In addition to our meetings at the White Ridge Community Center, Madam Chairperson, there had, in our first meeting at White Ridge Community Center, the issue of kind of the nature of our proposed development, the nature of the apartments, the nature of people that are attracted to apartments came up for discussion. In response, we assured everybody in attendance that it was our intention to market an absolute top quality upscale residence, things like stainless steel appliances, granite countertops, in-suite washer and dryer, heated underground parking, all these various amenities. And in discussion, it came up that we said, don't take our word for how nice it's going to be. You know, we have something available right now for viewing in the south end of Winnipeg and St. Vital at the Oxbow on the Seine. That was a presentation suite that had already been built and that we have committed to build to at least as good a standards. We are very happy to accept the suggestion by somebody from our White Ridge that we in fact have a meeting there. We did that. We met there and in fact had a second meeting where we invited 24 of our most immediate neighbors to come and view the show suite. At those two meetings, we had the R. White Ridge group, and also nine different residences were represented out of the 24 invited at our two meetings in late February. Amongst other things, Madam Chairperson, we launched a public website on February the 22nd featuring information inviting people to contact us if they had questions. We used that to invite people to our open house. On our website, Madam Chairperson, between February 22nd and April 5th, we had 86 different visitors use our website. And also, Madam Chairperson, on March the 1st, we had a fair bit of earned media, particularly regular rotational morning on CGOB that covered the proposal, both with comments from myself and also representatives of the community. Our various consultations, Madam Chairperson, led up to a March 7th public open house. We contacted every person. It was over 1,100 people, but it amounted to 423 residences that had signed up with the city through petitions and attendance at your December meeting. We contacted each one of those homes through mail, in addition to the media and website attention that we had, and we were very pleased to have 90 residents who came out that evening in order to speak with us about the various options that we had developed. In the end, Madam Chairperson, we came up with three different proposals that we presented to members of the public at our open house. All of them were shared with the R. White Ridge Leadership Group in advance. As you know, Madam Chairperson, you were at one of those meetings. Without going through all the details, Madam Chairperson, we worked very hard to try to address concerns we heard, and we have a graph that shows, for example, without going into details of last fall's developments, what we call number three, Madam Chairperson, that was significant amendments to what was proposed last December, things addressing privacy and site views, et cetera. The ridge number four, Madam Chairperson, was a three-story dwelling, which was proposed. And finally, what we brought here tonight as far as our recommendation, the ridge number five, which was the combined townhouse and four-story dwelling. It's important to know, Madam Chairperson, that when we went both to the R. White Ridge Leadership Group immediately before and also at and after our public open house, we did seek the feedback of the community to say, which of these three options do you see as most viable? Do you have sort of positive responses to any of these sorts of things? And we made it very clear that we were willing to proceed with any one of those options based upon any positive feedback we received from the community. In the end, Madam Chairperson, we have presented what's called number five here, which is the townhouse. As I mentioned, it was in fact proposed by one of our neighbors as a best practice. We certainly did receive some positive comment at the open house. And with the other two options that are showed here today, Madam Chairperson, I think it's fair to say we had no interest in the three-story unit. And, you know, despite some limited positive comment on some of the changes we proposed, there was still, I would say, not much support at all for the revisions that we brought through the winter to what we call number three here. Yes, please.
Item number two, so you're saying the three-story, there wasn't, and I'll probably ask the people in opposition as well, what was the concern with the three-story? It's just...
Councillor Fielding, the three-story proposal under Ridge Number 4, as you can see, the nature of the units, the way it was built, would require far more windows facing, for example, with views.
There's more exposure, the third level.
Yeah, exactly, and that was something we had tried to really mitigate under Ridge Number 3. We introduced privacy windows. We had privacy walls built on southern-facing balconies. We removed several windows, that sort of thing. But, yeah, there was a lot of concern about that point, Councillor, on number four. So with that, Madam Chairperson, I thank you very much for the attention of the committee. And, again, we would just like to say that through through our efforts over the winter to consult with our neighbors, with residents of White Ridge, we are very confident here tonight that we have proposed something which is not only keeping very much within all the details of Plan Winnipeg, in fact going back to 1980, but also one that does, in all sincerity, attempt to address the concerns, pick up the ideas we heard from our neighbors, and bring something forward that that we think can work well within the area.
We have some questions for you.
Sure. Brian, just some questions on the setback. So the proposal that you guys are going for, number three, or number five, rather, setback is 25 feet. The original was 47, you're saying, and then went to 25. Is it 25 feet setback for the duplexes that are there? What about the four-story component?
Yeah, can we get the chart again, just on the setbacks? Yeah, please. Councillor, the four-story proposal here that we have before you tonight is it's 114 feet setback.
So, actually, you just look back to the picture, because the picture is pretty good. So so just kind of visualize exactly where that is. So where the 25-foot setback is the south side, you're saying? It's like the bottom, or? Like yeah, where I'm concerned about is the four stories, right? The four-story peak.
Correct, Councillor. The setback we put in our application is 20. There's a 25-foot setback.
25 feet. Okay.
Right here between the townhouse and our neighbors here on Breckenridge. The setback, Councillor, back here to the four stories, it's 114 feet, Councillor?
It's 114.
114 feet. And if it's not evident from the site plan, Councillor, as well, it's important to note that the actual height we're proposing for our townhouse would be virtually identical to any of the two-story homes that would be across
so
the White Ridge fence.
35 feet or so, I mean, I'm assuming for that. Is it 20? Well, I think you're allowed to go to 35, are you not, for a two-story house? Yeah, so it's 35 for the duplexes, and you're saying it goes up to 27 in two stories. Sorry, it's right here. 46. So it goes up to 47 at the four story, 27 for the duplex. Okay. And just, I'm not sure, are you guys done your presentation? I got some other questions just in terms of the.
That's the conclusion of our formal presentation.
Just it's obviously, it's ranchers, right? I mean, that's what's going here. It's not condominiums. So what, like, how big of suites are they? Like, what is the costs? If I want to rent in there, or someone, you know, anyone wants to rent in there, what's the cost price? Like, you know, what would it cost to rent a place?
Sure. What we figured, Councillor, with averaging out the various, be it two bedroom or single bedroom, we averaged out a cost, including parking, of around $1,500. There would certainly be some worth more than that. Okay. The size of the suites, Councillor. We'd be offering suites of approximately 900 and also 1,100 square feet.
Okay, so 900. Okay.
And just as a comparison, Councillor, with how we mentioned the suites being appointed in much the same way as our show suite in St. Vital, that show suite, once it's built, is going to sell for as a condo, albeit, but would sell for at least $300,000 to $350,000 as far as a comparator. Obviously, we're looking at a rental unit, but we're talking that level of upscale quality, as I said.
Okay. Good. That's all the questions that I have at this point.
I had a couple of questions. So there is a berm, is that right? Just on the east side, though, now.
Yes, that's correct, Madam Chairperson. Okay. A berm along the east side.
So nothing on the south side, then?
I think we're proposing trees here on the south side, Councillor.
And are those fence yards or like the backs of the side-by-side units? Are they fenced?
Yeah, there is an existing fence over here, Councillor.
But individual yards aren't fenced, then? Or are they? For each unit?
This is one long fence.
One long fence, okay. Any other questions? Okay, we'll ask that you. Oh, go ahead.
So there's no berm, Brian. You're saying there's no berm on the one side, you're saying. There is on the top, but there's obviously fencing, and it goes up to 27, I guess, for the duplexes. Is there an ability to put in a berm there, or is it just too close to...
I think the advice we got, Councillor, was there's insufficient space in here right now to be able to engineer a berm with the townhouse there.
Right.
I think with our earlier option before we looked at the townhouse, we certainly had as big a berm as we could there with landscaping on top to provide that kind of buffer. In this case, though, the townhouses literally kind of take the place of the berm and trees.
Yeah.
There's obviously still some, whatever space we have for trees will do that. But with this proposal that we got from one of our neighbors, that the building actually becomes your visual buffer and transition.
Right. Okay. What about how big is the, like, the, if there's a current fence that's there right now, how big is that? Like, is it 6 foot fence? Is it 8 foot fence?
I think, yeah. What we refer to as the White Ridge fence that borders that entire side and goes around the community is 6 feet high, Councillor.
6 feet high.
Yeah, and the fence fence continues around
right,
here,
the hallway. So it's
and also
fence.
Continues along the side of McGilvery, or sorry, Keniston Route 90 up there.
Yeah. Okay, that's a question I have.
Okay, so if you gentlemen could step down now, we have people to hear from in support of the appeal and against. And then you have a chance to come back for your rebuttal. So next up, call Claudette Lupu, L-U-P-U. Is Claudette here? Claudette Lupu, 721 Elmhurst. Okay. How about Mike Stairs? How about Eric Vogan? Did you wish to speak? No, just be registered in support. Okay.
Just note, councillors, there are three letters of communication in support of the application that is in front of you as well. Okay, is there anybody else?
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak in support of the appeal? Okay. Sorry? Application, right. We're not on appeal. Okay. In opposition to the application, first up, I've got Pat DeJong. I have Aaron White. Are you coming as a community group then? Did you wish to come together? And Adriatic Lukic?
Excuse me.
This would be out of order, and we could clear the room. We could clear the room, so we won't have these kinds of outbursts. So, thank you. Not embarrassed.
We appreciate there's a lot of passion here, but you know it is a full night, so just let's have our presentation. Applause is great, but that hockey game is supposed to.
Yeah. How are you doing, Daniel? How are you doing? So what?
Good evening.
30 minutes on the clock.
Right on. Okay. In terms of just moving along through the process and our presentation this evening, I'd like to share with you, first of all, that, well, hello, I'm Pat DeJong. Pleased to see you again. I'm going to be talking about a variety of issues within the community, and then Aaron White will be talking about the consultation process itself from our perspective, and then Mr. Bukage will finish up with the petitions and the community opposition by numbers. So just in terms of allowing us to sail through, if you have questions around those pieces, I'm going to defer to when they come to their topic. And just another general note, picking a date is always hard and challenging, but tonight happens to be the annual general meeting of our White Ridge Community Center. So we'll have people leaving and coming to maintain that meeting and both commitments. So we're happy to be here tonight and to share with you our thoughts on this proposal. On December 6th, the last time we were here, we made a commitment to you, and we said that we will engage in a win-win. We will try and work with the developer and constructively, appropriately, professionally engage. On December 6th, we showed you these pictures. On December 6th, we told you the community view of development, because of our single-family dwelling nature, that it's our identity, that there were signs in the community where we touted proudly that we were a unique community of single-family dwelling only, which differentiated us in our identity from Linden Woods, Royal Wood, and other matters or communities. We shared with you on that evening that the community view of development, should it be residential, can you go back, please? Sorry. Would be something in keeping with the community and its character. It wouldn't include four stories. It would look like this. We were asking for this. You see to the bottom right condos that are bungalows attached. It is a multifamily dwelling. It is less dense. And on the other hand, on the left-hand side, you see two stories, again, side by side. In terms of multifamily dwelling, that was the community view and how we could maintain our identity and our character as such. Our main messages have been and remain to date that we are a single-family dwelling area, and that is our identity. Point two, it is understood that the lands to be developed should be development or developed. We are not against development, is the point. Point three, the development of the land within the community should reflect and complement the overall identity and the character of our community. And point four is White Ridge community's structures, roads, programs, schools were never built to accommodate the increased population, high-density housing along our borders. We were never built to sustain that. Complete communities, in terms of the policy document of our Winnipeg, does support context, character, and identity. Pieces of that, the concept of complete communities, as has been already stated, is directly applicable to every part of the city, but recognizes the unique aspects that differentiate one community from another. White Ridge is proud of our community and our identity. Next page. Key direction on page 78. When new development occurs in an area of stability, I understand Mr. Pill shared in his admin report that White Ridge is considered an area of stability. Yes, we agree that it should be contextually suitable and enhance and celebrate what makes the area unique. That's a policy direction, a key direction with respect to development. To that point, intensification should be accommodated within existing communities in a sensitive manner that recognize the existing form and character of its location. Areas of stability enabling strategies. Again, it says promote and provide clarity, compatibility between existing development and new developments through design, developments, and standards. More enabling strategies of our Winnipeg. In order to meet and fulfill life cycle, we've heard this, offer a variety of housing stock, including duplexes, low-rise apartments, secondary suites, semi-detached houses, townhouses. This, again, speaks to what we were trying to propose as the win-win-win for multifamily dwelling. And I think most importantly, in terms of areas of stability and enabling strategies, this main point speaks to us. Support low to moderate change in low-density neighborhoods through development and redevelopment that is complementary to the existing scale, character, and built form. We're proposing here tonight, as we did throughout the consultation process, that a four-story apartment block is not complementary or to scale of its existing form. Mr. Pill's comments as well with respect to the administrative report says that the residential RMF district is intended to accommodate the development of multifamily units in neighborhoods with medium to high residential densities. We understand that indeed, White Ridge is a low residential density area. The notion of aging in place is an important one, and our community, we believe, the majority of seniors that we spoke to are ready to transition, and what they'd like is an ownership model. They don't want to rent. Bungalows are ideal, and they're maintenance-free. So when we talk about, and if your interest, Council, is to allow people to age in place, then this will be adopted. The model that we showed is win-win is a model that will be very readily adopted. People will be excited about. Okay. Community health. One of the things when we were studying the R Winnipeg document is community health is not adequately addressed as a policy document when you talk about densification. While there's a variety of strategies to provide housing, it doesn't talk about schools, it doesn't talk about the community clubs, it doesn't talk about the downward pressure that you have to move through and with when you increase intensification or density. And let's talk about those 150 people that are going to live there. Let's say there's 92 units, take a fair guess, 150 is not correct, but it's not out of question, I think. Where are they going to go for a walk or jog? Is it going to be along the 70-kilometer highway? Or are they going to cross the tracks and go immediately to the green space where the community center is? White Ridge as a backdrop. Let's just describe our community here. Not all children can...
With that, if there is 150 people that come in, and that probably could be a number that is there, mm-hmm. Your concern is that they'd be using the community, like they'll be using the community.
Well, they need to use our community clubs. They need to use our schools. I mean, people don't live in isolation. They need those recreational activities just as much as the next, right? So what we're saying is our community club, our schools were never built back 20 years ago to sustain a substantial increase in density. That's our offering.
So your concern is that the community clubs would be too packed or the schools would be too packed because of the 150?
Well,
I just don't know what's your point with that?
Yeah, here we go, okay? I'm going to get into that a little bit more. Not all children can attend our schools, right? While the school is not full, I understand that. I acknowledge that. One of the challenges is daycare. There are 90 spots in our daycare. The community is about a $300,000 plus $400,000 average home price. Many people are double income families in the particular community. We even have one lady on our street in Breckenridge who does not take her child to the White Ridge Elementary School because she can't get a daycare space. In order to get a daycare...
Are you aware that there is a plan now underway for building another facility right attached to the school?
Yes, I understand that there were some discussions around it. I was not aware of its journey to date and where that plan is at or whether it will be successful. I've heard actually for a number of years that there's issues, that the issue exists to the point where we should put together a plan. Where is it at? I don't know, Councillor.
Okay. It's underway.
Well, that's fantastic.
Because we're at a crisis point now with childcare. So.
Exactly, because we're having a daycare run out of our community center. Mm-hmm. A community center is no place for a nursery. I mean, it is when you have a crisis, to your exact point, mm-hmm. but we are there. And so my offering to you is that while the school is not full, understand, it's not exactly not full because people aren't bringing their children there, or pardon me, they're not, there's the children, the issue is that they can't get daycare. So I can't take my kid there if I can't have after school care or before school care. It doesn't work.
Do you have to be from White Witch to send your child to the daycare that's there, or is there...
Well, people have just chosen to go to other schools because they can't get the before or after care, right? So while the school is at 400 instead of 6, there are tons of families who can't, they need it. It's a package deal. I need the daycare to send my kid there. I did talk to the YMYWCA. They have a waiting list. There's 90 spots. There's 50 people on a spot. And there's also more people.
Yeah.
Who didn't even bother going on the waiting list? If there's only, like, how does that work? I mean, there's not going to be 50 kids that withdraw out of a 90-seat program. So I'm not even bothering with the waiting list, right? So that's one of our challenges, right? And I'm grateful to hear of that daycare movement moving forward because it's a need. And so my offering to you is that combined with Bridgewater moving in, those children are coming to our school, that the school will become an issue with density. Okay, we've done that. So what's happening in White Ridge? There was 170 homes sold within the last 2 years. A massive majority of buyers are young families. That's why you move there. It's a single-family dwelling area. It is a kid-friendly area, and it's a brilliant community. That's the attraction. We have successfully, in a 26-year history, replenished the life cycle for our schools and our community club. This is on our website. You may have seen it. What you're looking at here is a snapshot of the development. The red zone is actually the proposal before us here tonight. The green zone is its neighboring property. Currently, most of the lands, while it's very choppy by lot, most of those lands are owned by Qualico. We did meet with Mr. Vogan, and he shared his intention during that meeting to build multifamily dwellings there. To what end, to what intent, what density level, there was vagueness. Our concern is that if we pass an RMFM, that indeed will go RMFM. I fail to see that a developer will go, well, yeah, I'll go less density. I think that they'll develop whatever they can. To the right of that in the purple lot is currently owned by a church community who's struggling with capital funds. And Mr. Vokan, during that meeting, became very excited at the prospect of that land coming for sale again. So, again, he would be absolutely interested in purchasing that vacant lot.
We are talking about the one application before. So
right.
So I don't know what he's got plans. If he does or not, you know,
I guess the long and short of this point is, if we set a standard tonight of RMFM, the others are going to come and say, well, you allowed it here, what's the deal? Our issue as a community is set this standard and the rest may follow, and it will put significant downward pressure onto our community clubs, schools, and our community health as a whole, right? All right. If you look at all those lots that I was talking about, what we're looking at is a potential down the road, okay, of a 572 units, which is a 25 increase in density within White Ridge. That's our concern.
572, you're saying that would be based on the other two properties being developed as well?
Yes, yes. That's right. Which is, again, pointing back to our request with respect to, let's keep this in mind. Infill has to keep community health in mind and what it was originally built to sustain, right? Now I want to tell you about a fantastic story we learned about late last week. In our minds, The leadership groom spines. This story has been told, and it had a fantastic outcome, and the standard's already been set. File DASZ11 in 2007, it talks about Templeton Point. In July 2007, the administrative report supports for all the same reasons. Now, I know it was Plan Winnipeg, not our Winnipeg, but the strategies for infill and community development were similar. The proposal before that community committee offered 2 four-story apartments totaling 110 units. I'd like to show you the land. Oh, this is the snapshot of the administration report that I'd just like to highlight. The top report summary for approval is the language, much like we see today, although Plan Winnipeg policies for infill development are compatible land use. Low to medium density residential is an appropriate land use for this site. Point 3, the proposed development will not have an adverse or negative impact on adjoining properties, and given the property influences, the proposed development is a good fit for the location. The description is moving from an agricultural land, absolutely like this, going to a R15, which is today an RMFM, because there's been a reframing. Am I right, Mr. Pill? I think I'm right. An R15 is equivalent to an M. Is that right?
R15 would be about R1M.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. And just as an FYI, Mr. Pill has been fantastic through this journey. He deserves commendation for his excellent support. Oh, sorry. Can you go back? Just a description of the proposed development. So we're talking about 2 four-story multifamily dwellings being proposed, 110 units. Let's go and look at this picture because it is eerily similar. You have it surrounded by residential multifamily dwellings. It is an odd shape. Yes, it's more rectangular or triangular than our current shape. It's a bit more rectangular with respect to our journey. Fascinating enough, there's a railroad track right running beside it, exactly like our particular journey. And that's where they wanted to put the 2 four-stories, okay? The West Kildonan community issue. So what did people say when they came to this community committee meeting on July 2007? They said the style didn't fit in the neighborhood. They wanted single family dwellings or something to fit in the community. These are all minuted in an admin report that I'll be providing to you. There'd be traffic increase. They didn't want apartments. It needs to be downsized. And then they talked about the train whistle at length. And it occurred to me that people will cross the tracks in our journey to get to the community club because it is the most direct route. And I don't believe there's a fence planned for along the railway, which is concerning because our whistle does go off from time to time, not always. But if there is a consistently pedestrian traffic going through there, you can be guaranteed the whistle will be going every time the train goes. All right. Here's what the Lord Selkirk West Kildonan Community Committee said. The developer, Mr. Roy, said that he didn't want to consult with the community. That time was of the essence, and asked them to proceed with a recommendation in as much as the applicant had already invested a significant amount of time and money in this development. Councillor O'Shaughnessy stated he was supportive of Councillor Lazarenko's suggestion for an adjournment and noted for the record that a 4-story apartment block at this location was too high, and asked that the developer either change his plans or the mind of the community. It's minuted. The results are that in September, 07, Seymour Pacific Development withdrew its application after meeting with the community. In May 2008, a new development is proposed by a new developer. There's your background information that there was opposition to the 4-story. The new proposal is seeking the 38 townhouse style condominium. The administration supported that in that admin report with the exact same language that it's fitting with the community. There won't be. Okay? Here's the results. There was overwhelming support. This is a Winnipeg Free Press article, and it says smaller is better. Townhome condos to spring up where high-rise apartments were rejected. And I'd like to offer you some quotes of that newspaper article. Go ahead. The area residents said they didn't want something that big. So we worked closely with the city planner to come up with a concept that would work. Everyone loved the idea. When one land development company's proposal failed, they wanted to put a high-rise apartment complex on a choice piece of land. It ultimately paved the way for another success.
And there's 10 minutes left. I don't know if you were trying to divide up the presenting time among the three of you.
Yes.
But to be fair, okay. We have a lot of people to speak tonight. So.
Okay. Can you go to the very end then? That's Templeton today. That's what they ended up building, not townhomes. Okay. That's the interior. That's the exterior land. If you drive past that, it looks like any normal residential community, which maintained the identity of that particular community on Templeton. Go ahead. That's an exterior view. Go ahead. The summary is we did work with the developer. We asked them to build that. That's exactly what we asked them to build. And we're offering to you tonight an affirmation of what our Winnipeg does. It does allow you to apply community context. We are not against development. We want it to be in context and in keeping with our neighbourhood. Go ahead. What's more in keeping with White Ridge? That is a four-storey apartment complex built by Precon. That's a picture of it. Is that picture more in keeping, or is the Templeton Avenue one? That one. That's all I have.
Okay, my name is Erin White. I also live on Breckenridge Close, and I've been involved in this process from the beginning. I'm here to talk to you tonight. I'll try and be brief about the consultation process that we undertook. Okay, I'm going to start. On January 17th, two members of our group met with Councillor Havisbeck, city planners, Precon Towers, and Brian Gray. At that meeting, we asked them what they were open to changing about their original proposal from the December meeting, and the answer was at that time, we have no plan, we are just here to listen. At that meeting, the Dover Court townhouse style option was presented as a good option by us. Okay. So what I'm doing here is I'm going through all of the meetings that we had. We were working on this as a win-win-win situation, I believe somewhat naively. And I'll get to that towards the end of my presentation. And we did have 8 or 9 meetings with them. So now I'm on to January 26th. 28 community members met with Councillor Havisbeck, city planners, Precon Towers, and Brian Gray at White Ridge Community Center. The focus on, in terms of Precon's side of it was on hearing community concerns. They gave no indication at that meeting that they had any specific plan in mind. Also at that meeting, the community strongly stated that they did not want apartment blocks in White Ridge, period. And one of the main reasons for that was they felt that White Ridge had always been a single-family dwelling community, and they wanted it to remain that way. Towards the end of the meeting, one resident said that she felt we had been heard but not understood. And just one thing to note is that a couple of people at that meeting did voice concerns about privacy, and Precon would latch onto this in subsequent meetings. So just stick that in the back of your mind for a second. So I'm talking now about another meeting on February 1st. Two of our members met with Brian Gray at Tim Hortons. Gray was focused on the directly impacted neighbors, saying that they wanted to invite them to the display suite at Oxbow on the Seine. Our members stated several times that this issue was a community concern and that the wider community needed to be consulted. This was not acknowledged by Gray, and he seemed to be actively avoiding the issue. Again, there was no suggestion that there was any sort of plan in place as to how they would be proceeding. Moving on to February 13th. The leadership group was invited to a display suite at Oxbow on the Seine, and I'd like to state for the record that we did not suggest that the meeting take place there, as was said earlier. For us, the inside of the building was completely irrelevant. I guess from their point of view, it was to show that us that this would not be a low-income housing option, And I believe it was suggested, I'm not sure by whom, that we had actually been door-to-door in our campaign speaking to people and telling them this was going to be low-income housing. And just to set the record straight, that was never the case. Finally, at the Oxbow, a plan was presented. You can note now that we've been consulting for almost a full month. Now we have a plan. We were surprised to learn that 92 units was a non-negotiable for the developer and that that was the density that they needed and they weren't going to do anything to deviate from that plan. The new proposal was a four-story apartment block, the same as from round one, with transom windows, which are the type of windows that allow light in but make it very difficult for people in the apartment blocks to see into the backyards of the neighbors. There was a berm, there was trees, and there was a lowering of the south end of the structure. Needless to say, we were bitterly disappointed, and we felt at that stage that the consultation had been a sham. And honestly, it seemed to us like Precon was using all of these meetings as an opportunity to just tick a box saying that they had consulted with us and then to move along and ram this project down our throats. February 13th. Precon, just moving on here, Precon stated that they had addressed privacy concerns and landscaping and that those were some of the major concerns that they heard as key issues. And I have to say here, I'm getting back to my previous point from that other slide, they seemed to pick and choose the issues that they felt were going to best serve their cause and those were the things that they chose to focus on. The height and the density was ignored, as was the fact that it did not fit in with the character of White Ridge. Again, there was no acknowledgement whatsoever that this was a community concern. And they stated that they would be inviting the immediate neighbors to see the display suite next. So February 14th and 15th, we had calls and emails exchanged between our group and Brian Gray regarding consulting with the White Ridge Community Center group again. Precon was focused on the immediate neighbors, and we had to strongly encourage them to get back to the White Ridge Community Center group because that was what they had committed to do, and that was what was expected by those people that had been there. February 22nd, another open house was held at Oxbow on the Seine. The results were the same. The community residents opposed the new proposal. February 24th, members of the leadership group met with Councillor Havisbeck. We explained that the new proposal, from our point of view, was essentially the old proposal with some extra trees and a few other small changes. Again, the Dover Court-style option was put forth as a good alternative that would fit. Councillor Havisbeck committed to getting Precon to give us options. February 28th, we finally had our follow-up meeting at White Ridge Community Center for those who had been in attendance that the first time. Residents were disappointed and upset. They were very opposed to the new proposal. It was quite an emotional meeting. And again, there was people stating that the whole consultation process had been a sham because we had been talking the whole time about how White Ridge was single-family dwellings only. People wanted to remain that way. They didn't want apartment blocks. And look what we had in front of us. We again showed our Dover Court options on storyboards this time. Okay, this is what was shown. Yeah, it's the pictures from the previous slides in Pat's presentation. Precon and Towers showed no signs of compromising. March 1st and 2nd, Councillor Havisbeck called and emailed one of our members to ask if any new options had been presented, and she was told no. March 5th, our leadership group, lo and behold, was called to an urgent meeting in which we would be shown a new option. As a note, we have now been consulting for 7 weeks. Also to note is that the larger community consultation at the Kubota Center was already planned for the 7th, which was only 2 days from that day that we're being shown new options. The leadership group was asked to decide on the spot which option was preferred, and that would be the option that they would go with. I myself was shocked that they would put this huge decision in our hands after we had stated so many times that it was clearly a community concern. Just continuing on with this meeting, this was another clear indication that the rest of the community was not a concern for the developer. The leadership group told them that we could not and ought not make a decision for the entire community. And we do feel that if Councillor Havisbeck had not intervened on our behalf, we would be looking tonight at that very first proposal that they gave us with no changes whatsoever. talk about an 11th-hour change in plans. This is just further evidence from our point of view that the whole consultation process was a sham. March 7th. This is the Kubota Center open house. 100 people attended. A small percentage of the community were invited to a large community consultation, and people were not happy with what was presented at all. Moving on to the next day, the leadership group was called to another urgent meeting, and I have to tell you that by this time, I was really getting frustrated with being dragged along two meetings at the beck and call of the developer. In fact, on this time, I had to bring my 7-year-old son with me, and he sat in the realty office vestibule and waited while we had our meeting. We were told of their intention to proceed with option 4. They had rejected a closed-door session that we had offered to them to try and work on a win-win-win situation, which is another key feature. There was no more consultation whatsoever after that Kubota Center open house. We indicated that we did not support the proposal. However, as responsible corporate citizens, we did suggest they look at removing balconies, adding more trees, transom windows, wedding caking the south end of the complex, and increasing setbacks, which were all actually in the very first proposal that we saw from them. Gray's response, and this is important, was that we would be asked to confirm in writing that we would support an application for a variance. This would effectively guarantee for them that we could not put up any opposition to their proposal as it proceeded to the Board of Adjustment because we had already signed off our approval by requesting a variance. This comment changed the whole discussion process from consultation to negotiation. And it was quite offensive. Just quickly moving along, we received an email from Brian Gray quite a few days later telling us to take a look at their website and the details of the application could now be found on there. After all the concern for privacy issues and directly impacted neighbors, the new application did not have transom windows. It did not have a wedding cake of that south end of the apartment complex. The setback for the townhouses was 25 feet, which is actually the bare minimum, and it still contained 8 balconies facing the south neighbors. How is that concern for your neighbors? What does that say to you? In summary, after 6 weeks of consultation, Precon had not come up with any kind of significant changes to their December proposal. Within days of Councillor Havisbeck pushing for more options, we had 2 new options. Why wasn't the Dovercourt option ever considered? Why did Precon wait until March 5th to present any other options when they knew they'd be going forward with an application to City Hall by the 8th? That's 3 days before they put their application in. The obvious answer is that they did not care how our community responded to their plans. They were going to go ahead with them anyway. We gave up so much of our time to attend meetings, respond to emails, make and respond to phone calls. I'm sure you're getting the gist of this. You understand that for us, this has been like having a second job. And let me say for the record, I would do it all again if I felt that it was going to ensure that the voice of the community was going to be heard. But all in all, what a colossal waste of our time when our main messages were ignored and we end up with a proposal so similar to the one you already rejected in December. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is John Bukic. I signed my legal name on the card as Adriatic. I go by John. Before you, is a slide that shows the area that canvasses the door-to-door and petitioning area that was completed in the area we referred to as White Ridge. That is a map from the Winnipeg Transit System. So if you notice, it's bound by the north from Gilvery Boulevard. East is Keniston. West is Brady Road. And south is the areas of Vineland, Skirfield, Shillingstone, and a number of other smaller places in the south. Just a quick recap. On December the 6th, 2011, 854 residents were surveyed and posed the question with respect to future development of White Ridge, what will your vision include? 99.5% of the people who participated in that survey, which was already given to you in December, did not want or were opposed to the four-story apartment complex being proposed by Precon Towers Realty.
Our methods of communication this time also included online petition, a door-to-door canvassing with paper pen, face-to-face discussions with neighbors, Canada Post distribution of leaflets, mail drops by numerous volunteers, telephone discussions with neighbors, electronic communication, and our sandwich boards and posters scattered throughout the community. There was also some email submissions that were sent through our website that were addressed to Councillor Havisbeck, Mr. Gray, and members of our White Ridge group. So there were 125 submissions. One was junk mail. They told all of us who were in receipt of that to all get a life for some reason. One submission thought the apartment proposal was less of an eyesore than the area and its buildings that already presently exist. And a person, Carol Fraser, of no address, was in favor of the proposal. Yeah.
Is that the initial survey that you put out in December, or is this with the new proposal?
Oh, sorry, the new proposal.
So yes. this is based on the new, you did
yes,
another
yes,
round
sir.
Of surveys?
Yes. Okay. It's part of the consultation process. And so, in summary, 97.6% of the residents from the letters, submitting the written letters, were opposed to the proposal. Next. Some of the submission concerns summarized were development of all land within the community should reflect and complement the overall identity and character of the community. We bought into this community because we were told it was zoned as single-family homes. The volume of traffic will increase immensely. Roads were not correctly planned to handle this flow. There's currently a huge traffic mess at the Columbia-McGilvery intersection that will only get worse. A large apartment complex will increase noise and movement, which could undermine a person's sense of safety and security, simply because there are more people in and around the area. Five, the developer has intentionally and repeatedly disrespected the history of White Ridge being a neighborhood that is single family in nature. And six, why are we revisiting an issue that our community clearly stated that it was opposed to? These were summarizations in people's emails. Next. This is just a copy of the petition online that we have. It's directly pasted right from it. What everybody would have seen if they would have filled it in. Next. The online petition that's linked to our website, www.ourwhiteridge.com, can be accessed by anybody, and they can also see the signature list if they scroll down. So as of today, this afternoon, we received 862 signatures stating that they are expressing opposition to Precon's second proposal. Next. The slide before you is the letterhead part of our door-to-door petition for the second proposal, the various statements that we have included there, and then we gave an area for the name, address, phone number, and their signature. And in those petitions, we received. Can you go two slides over now? Yeah, two, one. So our door-to-door petition, we've now received an additional on top of what was already done on the email. These are additional extra. They're not duplicated. Are 864 other people who have signed our petition. And in that 864 is another 100 that were submitted today. So if I could walk across. So there was 100 submitted today, bringing our total to 864 submissions. If you want to go to the next slide. So in total, let's do the math, 862 plus 864, eerily close, 1,726 people have registered in opposition to the second proposal that Precon and Towers Realty have submitted. So they have expressed opposition to the proposed development at the southwest corner. Next. March 7th, the Kubota Center. According to our, we had a table at the Kubota Center on that night, and we had a survey in which 70 people completed our survey, which was present at our table, and 16 people were not aware of the city's strategic plan to develop high-density housing in infill areas. 54 people actually were of the 70 that completed it. Two people were in favor of the proposal seen that night. They liked all three of them. They said Three people filled out the forms and were in favor of commercial structures that night. And 65 out of 70 were opposed to all three options proposed that night. And that night, they also had their variances attached to them. So 92.8% of people at their meeting that they hosted were strongly opposed to all three options at the Kubota Center. So people were also asked to complete a survey that Brian Gray and Precon handed out. Many residents, some people handed it in, but I know many people, I see them rip them up, take them out, and throw it in the garbage, because as the questions basically had no context to them. Next slide. There was an increased support for our White Ridge. By April 7, 2012, over 600 residents have joined the Our White Ridge group to the existing base support, of which we had 1,100 in December. So 600 more in order to express opposition to give us that total of over 1,700. Our volunteer base in and around the White Ridge area alone increased by 300%. People volunteering, doing little jobs and everything for us. People do care about the unique character and identity of their neighborhood. It is a White Ridge concern. Residents from all phases and neighborhood streets of White Ridge have joined in to voice their concerns and oppose the proposal set forth by Precon. The level of concern is community-wide, not just neighbors. The proposal is not compatible with the area in which the apartment complex is to be situated. White Ridge has always been characterized as a single-family community. The proposal is deemed to be extremely intrusive, and it creates a substantial adverse effect on our community. The overwhelming number of over 1,700 people who are opposed to this proposal, it cannot be dismissed. Extremely encouraging to find that we all share the same vision for our community. We all enjoy the unique character of the area and want to preserve it for now and for the future generations to come. Overall summary, our main messages remain the same. The plan Our Winnipeg supports community character and context. Templeton Point at the corner of Templeton and McGregor has set a standard. You've heard that in Pat's presentation. White Ridge was not designed to accommodate a substantial increase in density. The consultation process was a sham. What are they proposing? Click. This is what we ask is in with our neighborhood, we think. It'll come finally. Next. Say no to get to yes. Thank you very much.
It doesn't matter to me who answers it. Thank you very much for your presentations. It's a very well documented. I did a lot of hard work with it. I do have a number of questions. It does look, just looking at this one page, I'm not sure if you're privy to this or not, but it did chronicle some of the changes that were made. And it does look like there was some substantial changes to it. The one question which I asked the applicant was about the three stories. And I said I would ask you folks as well, just in regards to that. So was there any consideration with the three, looking at a three-story in terms of, I guess it's at least from the duplexes will be 27 feet, and then it, I guess it kind of gradually goes up to 47 at the four-story. So was there were you considering the three-story, or what was the issue with that? It seems like that might have been a bit of a compromise.
Just in response to that, the issues were significant around that one. Number one is it still doesn't fit the character of the community, so that was part one. It's a three-story. Part two was it would create a substantial adverse impact along the Breckenridge Close side, because now you'd have two layers of balconies stretched right across looking into your backyard, so the visual impact would be the worst. It is the worst proposal with respect to impact on the adjacent neighbors, which is why it was never significantly considered by Mr. Gray and their group. And it still doesn't address the density issues, the 92, and then moving forward on the other remaining issues, right, of the adjacent lands. So that was a very big concern for us. It was density, character, and the overall impact to the neighbors.
Right. Just a couple of follow-up questions with that. I mean, if you do look at what Plan Winnipeg says, and you've chronicled portions of it and that sorts, like by law right now, you can have, I think it's, is it a 20-foot setback? You're allowed 25. So as I understand it, it's a 25-foot setback that you're allowed to do from if you're putting a duplex or if you're putting a four-story building. So it looked like, at least from their presentation, that there's a, was it a 20-foot setback, I believe, from the initial duplex, but then it looked like it was going up, and I believe it was somewhere over 100, and I'll ask maybe the applicants when they come up again, it looked like it was over 100, 100, and I don't know if they had the numbers there, 117 or something, I think I heard. Yeah, so it does look like it is 114 feet away from the property line, and by law, they're allowed to do 25 feet. So it does, I mean, at least from my perspective, it does look like it's five times the distance in terms of the setback. So what's your perspective on that? I mean, it,
address part of this, because with height becomes a requirement of setback, okay? So the four-story could not have been 25 feet away. The townhouses, yes. But when you go high, there's a 45-degree angle measurement, and Mike, help me out here because you're the guy, so I'll defer to you around.
A 45-degree angular measurement comes from our infill design guidelines. Mm-hmm. It's not a legal requirement as mm-hmm. per the zoning bylaw, mm-hmm. but more so just a guideline for when the Urban Planning Division is reviewing proposals. That's something we look to achieve, you know, proper mm-hmm. setbacks versus height.
Right.
But it's not a legal requirement.
Okay.
It's a recommend. I guess I'd also notice it is a recommendation of us that be incorporated into the zoning agreement, which would make it a legal requirement.
Right. So it would be a lot farther back than the 25 feet, is my offering. The fourth story. Did I? Okay.
Other issue, I mean, you know, obviously that area, you've got White Ridge and you've got Linden Woods that's there. I mean, with Linden Woods, there is a number of, four-story buildings and that sorts that are there. And it's a little bit, I'd say maybe a bit more removed, but there does tend to be a lot of development that is there, density, if you will. Developments there. I mean, you know, I think that there's a big distinction between White Ridge and Lindenwood for a variety of reasons, but to a certain extent they are, you know, in the same, you know, whether it be, you look at from a provincial boundary or even from a federal boundary, political boundaries, I guess, if you will, they're in the same neighborhoods, if you will. So, you know, knowing the fact that Lindenwood does have some of that density that's there, that's kind of a direct neighbor to White Ridge, what's your thoughts on that?
I think the thing to think about when we're talking about Linden Woods is that a lot of those denser developments were planned so that the people who moved in next to them knew what that land was zoned already before they were actually built. There was a couple of examples that we showed at the December 6th meeting where the land was already zoned for that type of a structure to be built, and so people were aware that that was going to be happening. That's not the case with this land. It's zoned agricultural. Nothing like this has ever been done in White Ridge before, and what happens tonight is setting a precedent.
Okay. And then there's a concern that was raised. I think it was through the surveys about traffic, but do you see, like, is traffic an issue here? Like, it looked like the entrance points are, and I don't think that... No, but it is a serious question because as I understand it, the entry points are off of McGilvery.
Sure, Councillor Fielding, with respect to that, yeah. My offering to you is this. People who want to go to the community club, people who go to Sobeys, the congestion at the mouth of Columbia and McGilvery, that's already a very intense intersection. You're going to add to it. Okay, and looking at density issues and zoning and setting up future zonings is very important, part one. Part two is kids who are going to go to schools are going to go skating, or if you want to do yoga or Zumba or like anything, every night there's something going on at the community club. It's brilliant. It is a very vibrant community club. We couldn't even book a meeting to meet there until 8 o'clock at night because there's some gig going on that everybody's going to. So my offering to you is this. The intersections will be significantly intensified. But to suggest that the people, the 150 or whatever number we end up with, won't come into the community to drive their kids to school twice a day. Yes, they will, because they're not going to walk. Will they use the community structures? I hope they do. Like, you know, that's part of the journey of becoming a community. They will use those things. They should use those things. And we need to keep in mind how we build our community to accommodate an increased density that was never planned for. And balance. It's about balance. Right?
Right? Don't take my questions the wrong way. These are important questions that we need to address. The other point was, you wanted more in your proposal, you proposed back to the applicant, was to have kind of a duplex type of models, right? Is that similar to it, or single family or duplex in some capacity?
Right on.
So what sort of density, and I'm not sure if you put a number on that density in terms
Yes,
of
we can, sir.
Okay, so what was the density?
Councillor, we can share with you that by our measurements, which were affirmed by Matthew, I'm forgetting Matthew's last name, I'm sorry, from Towers Realty, that it was between 40 and 45. Maximum would be 45.
Okay.
So depending on how much green space you wanted and how much play you wanted inside of that, you would be talking about approximately 40, give or take to another side, Councillor.
Okay.
So with that kind of a development, fitting in with the community character, not disrupting it, you're cutting the density in half, right? And that's the balance.
Okay.
I have one question. When we last met and I asked that Towers do some more consultation, I see significant changes to their plan. What do you feel you've tried to meet them in the middle with? I mean, have you tried to come to some middle ground with them?
I think from what we talked about in December and from what we've said throughout this presentation, White Ridge community members and residents feel like this is a single family dwelling community. So any movement away from that is actually a huge compromise for us. Of course, we don't want a four-story apartment complex. We don't want the density of 92 units. That's why the townhouse condominium style is a perfect compromise for us. It's not single family dwellings, which is in fact what the majority of people actually want, but it's not a four-story apartment
complex
either.
So the townhouse portion that they've presented is your sort of
yes, but let's keep it clear that we're not saying yes to the proposal before us just because they've thrown up a few townhouses and that's going to hide the apartment complex for the Breckenridge Close people. We would like it if the entire thing were townhouses or condominiums. That would be the ideal, and that would be a compromise. And actually, that would, like Pat said, allow people to age in place. As she pointed out, I think if you've invested all your money, $400,000 in a home, and you want to downsize, are you going to want to start throwing away your money on rent when you could buy a condo instead?
Okay. Do you have any more questions? Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, let's take a 10-minute break, and then we'll hear from the other 97 people.